Hi, I'm John Nerrell, and welcome to the Mid-Career GPS Podcast. If you're feeling stuck in your career and overwhelmed by what steps to take, I can help you. As an executive and career transition coach, I help my clients prepare, position, and promote who they are and what they do to show up and find a job they love or love the job they have. It's time to start building your mid-career GPS. So let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Today is episode 23, and we're going to talk about something you should do, even though you may not want to. Now, no joke, I have recorded this introduction to this podcast at least a half a dozen times. And I just managed to take a drink of lemonade followed by a drink of some orange-flavored seltzer. Don't ever do that. That is something you should not do. But we're going to talk today about cover letters and whether you should or you should not write them. And I have to tell you, this has caused a lot of stress and anxiety and worry, if you will, for people who have been contacting me on LinkedIn or messaging me in our private Facebook group called Your Mid-Career GPS. Come on over and join that. Would love to have you there. But this is one of those questions where the immediate thought becomes, I'm not good at writing. I don't know what to say. How do I not be too convincing or aggressive or pushy or forward or wishy-washy or uncertain? And where do I find the balance? Where's the balance in writing a cover letter that is at least going to help me rather than hurt me? And here's the other piece. Sometimes a lot of you don't really like talking about yourselves. And so having to put that in writing becomes even more stressful because now you have to look at words on a page and see them back at you and imagine somebody reviewing that and making a decision as to whether or not they want to invite you in for an interview. I will share with you that as a former hiring manager, sometimes cover letters really did convince me about bringing somebody in for an interview. It was that little extra added piece of information that helped me get to know a potential candidate a little bit better. And if it was a really well-written cover letter, it definitely gave me even some more insight to their potential writing ability, or at least how they were branding themselves and positioning themselves strategically for this job. Cover letters are not the be-all and end-all. In fact, they're additive. Since many companies have transitioned over to screening resumes and scoring resumes with an applicant tracking system, cover letters may or may not be necessary. Now, the cover letter is designed as an opportunity for you to share with a hiring manager something more about yourself. It's an opportunity to expand on a particular facet or aspect of your resume that's going to be a little more interesting to them. Maybe help you make your case a little bit stronger as to why you should be interviewed. And a lot of times, though, there may not be a place for you to upload a cover letter into an applicant portal or onto the company's website where you're applying for these kind of jobs. It's far different in a lot of ways than what it was years ago. I remember interviewing for positions, particularly teaching positions, where before I had my job for 14 years at a district in northern New Jersey, I must have mailed, yes, we got to go back to mail here. I must have mailed 250 to 300 resumes for jobs. Excuse me. And it was really easy because you had one resume that told you everything you wanted someone to know about you. And you had a cover letter. And all you needed to do was to change the address of where it was going and the persons to whom it was attended to and change the dear line letter, and it was good to go. Well, in one of my biggest goofs I've ever done, I noticed that I sent out the wrong cover letter probably at least a couple dozen times. I was distracted. I was going on autopilot. I was tired and I just messed up. Can you imagine getting a letter and it's addressed to somebody else? You just know they've been applying to other jobs. I mean, I was mortified, right? And these kind of mistakes happen, and they can happen now with email even quicker, which is why you have to be really careful in how you are uploading cover letters and even uploading customized resumes into these portals. But here's the thing. When you are considering whether or not you should write a cover letter or not, here's a couple of things that are really, it just makes it so much easier, right? If the job posting says, upload your resume and cover letter here, you will write a cover letter. If there is an option to submit a cover letter, not all companies require them, but sometimes they make them optional. If it is an option, you will write a cover letter. If you have been personally referred by someone for the job, you will write a cover letter. And you will write a cover letter that specifically highlights your talents and expertise and how you believe it is an asset for you to this new position and why a company would want to know a little more about it. Now, obviously, you're not going to submit a cover letter if there is no way for you to upload that. And some companies have honestly gone away with looking at cover letters. They are only scoring the resume for a match, and that's it. The cover letter is really designed to be additive when it gets in front of someone who is considering bringing you in for an interview and they want to know a little bit more about you. I do believe that it is always advantageous to submit a cover letter whenever possible. But then you also need to figure out who to submit that letter to. Gone are the days when we write to whom it may concern, or dear sir or madam. We don't do that anymore. It's passé, it's outdated, it's offensive. We just don't do that. You do have enough information readily accessible to you. Google is your friend. Your network is also some really good friends to help you to figure out who would be a point of contact to address this cover letter to. And the other thing you want to do, and I strongly encourage this, is, you know, figure out who you can research at the company. The company website may list either an HR director or a hiring manager or even a department coordinator or person that you may be able to address that to. But it's so important for you to do your research. And if you can identify that person, I strongly suggest you connect with them on LinkedIn. Now, you may not necessarily say, hey, I'm applying for a job at your company, but at least share why you want to connect with them. What is a reason or a motivator for you wanting to connect with them? Remember, do not just hit the connect button without adding a note. That note, the 300-character note that you're going to send as part of that initial invite, needs to let that person know that you have read something on their profile that is of interest to you and is motivating you to connect with them. It is such a pet peeve of mine when people connect with me and they do not include a note. So if you're listening to this and we're not connected on LinkedIn, connect with me on LinkedIn. I'd love to be connected with you and have as part of my network and vice versa. But just send me a note. Tell me why. Tell me why you want to connect. John, I heard you on the podcast and you said I needed to add a note. So here it is. It'd be fine, right? But always make it a point to add that note. Here's the other thing, and this is something that I don't think a lot of people really know about this, or maybe you've not heard about this. If somebody's LinkedIn profile is public, meaning you can see everything that you would see whether you're connected with them or not, scroll down to the very bottom of their profile and look at their recommendations. I want you to look at the ones that they have written and the ones they've received, and find that common theme or characteristic that you could pull into your resume. If you see things like that they've written about other people, and you've seen things like hard worker, dedicated, action-oriented, evidence-driven, great people skills, excellent customer or client management. If you see anything like that, those are the things you would want to pull in your cover letter because that's what's important to them. That's what they're recognizing in other people. So it would only make sense that they'd be looking for somebody with similar characteristics or abilities or skills. Let them know you know about them. You don't have to put in your cover letter, hey, I stalked your LinkedIn profile and here's what I found. But you will find ways to put that into a cover letter as evidenced by your LinkedIn profile. Or I can see that the company is very focused on revenue generation at the lowest cost possible. Whatever that may be, you will find a way when you do your research to craft that cover letter. And your cover letter needs three components in one page. Do not write a multi-page cover letter. You don't need it, right? So the three paragraphs. The first paragraph is you are going to introduce yourself. Please don't make the cover letter read like a middle school book report. Today, I am going to talk to you about why I am interested in this position. Do not do that. You have a headline. You have some kind of professional value statement. And if you don't have one, we should do some work together and I will help you with that. But having a unique professional value statement is something like, I help. Think about who do you help? What do you help them do specifically? Why is that important to you? You want a cover letter to begin with, you know, dear, you know, hiring manager, whoever that person is, you know, dear Mr. Jones, Ms. Smith, whoever that is, right? I help. Tell them right off the bat who you help rather than I'm applying for such and such position. Don't do that. It's a waste of space. Introduce yourself in a way that is going to immediately generate interest in who you are and what you do. Now, in that second paragraph, you want to expand on a specific or relevant achievement that is noteworthy or important or interesting to that company and something that is going to showcase your value that you are bringing to them. State why your experience is perfect for the position. What makes you an excellent fit for the job? That second paragraph is all about expanding on something you picked up on in the job description that you want to expand on that you can't necessarily do in your resume. You may highlight something such as, I had this particular experience, and here's why it's valuable to you. Or in my time at ABC company or XYZ company, I was able to generate $2 million in sales through a new program called such and such. Expand on that. Pull them in a little bit closer. Pique their interest. Get them intrigued. And then in the third and final paragraph, as you sum up why you are interested in this job, understand that sometimes hiring managers need a little push. And this will all come down to your thoughts on how you think this is going to be received. But I'm a firm believer that when people write a call to action in paragraph three, given my interest in the position, I'm looking forward to hearing from you when you are ready to make selections for interview candidates. I look forward to hearing from you. Ugh. Like it's that cringeworthy moment in the Brady Bunch that you just want to like shiver with. No, I don't recommend doing that. I like to put a very definitive call to action in there. Something that says, What is your availability over the next couple of weeks for us to have an introductory meeting to discuss my candidacy for this position? Or maybe it's something like, I'm really looking forward to talking to you about this position. What kind of availability might you have over the next couple of weeks for us to meet? Be clear about your intention. Be decisive. Be confident and competent in that you want to talk to them and they want to talk to you. You have no control over whether someone thinks that's too forward or too aggressive, right? Or maybe it doesn't fit within their timeline, but let them know you are interested and let them know you want to talk. Let them make a decision that they don't want to talk to you, but state your intentions very clearly. This is where that will help you. And you will also help them by helping them make a decision in terms of what next steps they want to take. Your cover letter is your story, and it is your story from the very beginning to the very end of that letter. If you're starting off your cover letter with "I help," help them in the call to action. Help them in terms of inviting you in for a call. Given everything I've researched about your company, I'm certainly looking forward to learning more about you and the potential work we could be doing together. I'm curious, what is your availability over the next couple of weeks for us to meet? Then if you want to put in, I'm looking forward to hearing from you, or sincerely, or however you decide to close it, that's fine. But your call to action needs to be definitive. Be bold. Right? This is the part that sometimes people think like, oh, if I'm too pushy, they're going to think I'm a problem employee. Are you really being pushy? Let's get clear about what's going on in your own mind and your own thoughts. I've said often on this podcast that our thoughts create feelings, which create actions, which produce results. Your thought in that cover letter is, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to meet them. I can't wait to talk to them. Or it's, yeah, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring, but I just don't want to be perceived the wrong way. And so I'm just going to play this really, really safe. I have done far better. I've gotten far better reception and response in my cover letter when I have been more decisive in my calls to action than I have been if I just let them and be too nice, quote unquote, right? I am a very heart-centered leader and individual, and I look at that as a way of me not being aggressive or pushy, but me just helping them along. Look, if you don't want to talk to me, that's fine. Tell me no. I'm okay with that. But if you do want to talk to me, let's set something up. Let's get this ball rolling. Because the sooner you get me or somebody else into that role, the more we're going to be able to get down and do some work. Remember, they are looking for a candidate to fill a job to help solve a particular problem they are having. You are either the person that's going to solve that problem for them or not. And there's a lot of people out there who could. Why are you the right person? And how are you going to help them understand that? All right. I'm going to put a link in the show notes to a great blog post I wrote a while back, but it does give the structure for the cover letter I just recommended, along with another great resource as well. It is called Cover Letter Tips for 2021 Job Seekers. It's from Resume Genius. I really liked it, which is why I wanted to include it here in the show notes. And so wrapping up, remember, you're going to write a cover letter when it says you should, when you've referred by somebody, or you have an opportunity to submit one. Your cover letter is your story. Never be ashamed of telling it. All right. Stay tuned for another episode next week. I wish you a great rest of the day. Stay safe. Be well. And go write that cover letter. I'll talk to you later. If you enjoyed today's show and don't want to miss an episode, follow on Apple Podcasts or wherever you usually listen. And I'd appreciate it if you would leave a rating and review. Visit johnnarrell.com to download your free copy of the 55-Minute Career Transition Jumpstart to help you start building your mid-career GPS. And don't forget to connect with me on LinkedIn and follow me on social at John Narrell Coaching. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time.